I love the sound of children. When Sharon and I walk in the parks, we just marvel at the sound of playing children, laughing and screaming and enjoying time together. So it's such an honor and a privilege to have children in our midst and among us. So welcome again, brothers and sisters in Christ. The song we just sang, the hymn, I turned to Sharon and I said, oh my goodness, that's from my childhood. I hadn't sung that song in a long time. And each of the songs today were appropriately chosen. Thank you, ladies, for the wonderful work you do, and men too. But it's an honor to sing these songs and to be a part of the family of God. We are in our second series of R2B. I'm calling it the 8 Marks of a Healthy Church. And today we are to be a people of fellowship. And we're looking at the 8 marks of a healthy church from the book of Acts. The first four are written up here. So last week we covered, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the word, right? We are people of the word was the theme last week. The theme this week is people of fellowship. And next week it'll be breaking of bread. So they have a little bit in common. But next week we will observe the Lord's Supper, communion together as a part of that service. And we'll talk more about that. But today, when you think of the word fellowship, honestly, what do you think of? Ah, I heard it. Food. Yes. Now, you might think of the Fellowship of the Ring. Maybe not, if you're not a Lord of the Rings fan. I grew up in a tradition where fellowship meant potluck. But in the church where I was young and we grew up, we didn't believe in luck. So we called it pot faith, which was interesting. But it was amazing. Homemade rolls, casseroles, I mean, a plethora of a buffet of food. And we had a potluck meal every month and in between every once in a while. Sharon and I grew up in a tradition, well, we grew up in a different traditions, but basically in a time period where we used to have revival meetings. And these revival meetings were literally 2 weeks long. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday through Saturday night, and for 2 whole weeks. And you'd have a special evangelist come in. And that one always had lots and lots of food, especially if you were one of the music directors or the preachers or something like that, because after church, every evening after the revival service, you would go to somebody's house. And these are usually little old ladies who could really cook, and they would always say, eat more, you're too skinny. So, yes, I always had the opportunity to have a lot of food. But in the biblical context, the word fellowship in the Greek koinonia speaks to a deep sense of community, sharing, and mutual support. We're going to talk about these today. The early believers intentionally spent time together building relationships and caring for one another's needs. A healthy church, which is our goal, healthy disciple in a healthy church, fosters a genuine connection and a sense of belonging. A sense of community and family. And that's why I intentionally say every week, good morning, Emmanuel family, because we are the body, the bride of Christ. So in preparing this message, I thought, fellowship, I could have 10 points, but that would probably take an hour and a half to 2 hours. So I decided in explaining Emmanuel, IBC, to other people, I've equated this church to a ship. And in the early days, I thought, well, is it a battleship? Because, you know, we're marching on to war against evil and we're rescuing people. But that's maybe not the best one. Is it a cruise ship? Well, Sharon and I took a 30th anniversary cruise ship a few years ago, and I think I put on 10 or 15 pounds. So we don't want to be a cruise ship where we're just enjoying food and games and everything. So I think the ship we are, maybe best described, is an aircraft carrier. Because Emmanuel Madrid, we have this large platform and people land, right? And they need to be refueled, their vehicle, and they need to be refueled. So yes, we have fellowship and food that refuels them. They need a place to stay, to rest, to recover, to recoup. Operations and all of the things that you can think of that happen on an aircraft carrier. So for today's acronym, we're going to take the fellow and he's going to disembark. So fellow, he's already gone. So we're just going to do SHIP because it'll make it a little bit easier today. So let's stop and pray. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we, your children, your people, your body, your bride, come to you and enter your presence with thanksgiving and praise. Thank you for making us your adopted sons and daughters, your children, for giving us sometimes a replacement for the families in which we grew up or that we had the experience of living. Lord, you're redeeming and restoring us as you're working in and through your church. And so, Lord, I thank you for Emmanuel Madrid. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ, for our fellowship, for our time together. And Lord, as we stop and we open your word and we look at how your early church practiced being together, Lord, open our hearts and minds and let your spirit flow and grow and make us into the people, the body, the family that you intend us to be here in Madrid. Thank you for your love, for your grace, and for your mercy. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Okay, so the first S in SHIP is service. And I think I have three or four words. I think it might just be three. So the first word is worship, because we are in what we would call traditionally a worship service, right? So we have worship service. What is your motivation for coming to church? Again, really, stop and think about it for a moment. There are lots of things we do. We worship, we sing, we pray, we read the word, we hear and the word proclaimed, we share, and of course, today we're talking about fellowship. But what is the motivation behind these actions? Is it inward focused or selfish, or is it outward focused or selfless? We need to continually be checking our motivations for the things that we do. Because we're all human beings, and we need to work on ourselves and partner with the Holy Spirit as he's working within us and using others, the body, the bride of Christ, to work on us. To be a healthy disciple in a healthy church, we need the freedom to talk about these things with each other. Be transparent, share our feelings, even if they're not exactly what we want. Right? We may have ulterior motivations for the reasons to come, right? We may think we have to come in order to be good enough for God, as an example. This is a part of confessing our sins to one another, a place, a body, a family where we can course correct our hearts, our attitudes, and our motivations, right? It's iron sharpening iron. The Spirit working through you and me together to mold us into Christ's likeness. In the Bible, worship and service are intertwined, and it's not necessarily in worship service, with service as being a part of worship. Romans 12:1 that I've got up there for you describes offerings one's body as a living sacrifice, which then is presented as a spiritual act of worship, i.e. reasonable service. So we'll read it. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you, right? And think about that for a minute. Give your bodies, right? Use your physical reality for service to the Lord, dedicating and committing. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, your bodies, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And I could spend a whole message on just that, those two verses. But this highlights serving God and serving others are the way to worship. Jesus exemplified this by coming not to serve, not to be served, but to serve, right? We just had Easter where Jesus took up the towel and basin and washed his disciples' feet. The next thought is other-focused service. And so this is mutual care and support for one another. Fellowship involves practical care for one another's needs, whether they are physical, emotional, or spiritual. So we're looking at a holistic care. Members are willing to help each other in times of crisis, offer assistance, and bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2 reads, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another brother is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself." Verse 2, "Share each other's burdens. In this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important." So this demonstrates God's love in tangible, practical ways. Remember we started last week about there are over 100 one another statements, about 59 because some of them are repeated, and most of these are commands. They're the things that we are to do to one another, for one another. And these are just examples of that. Galatians 5:13, an example. "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your own sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." Right? That's an admonition, but a command. We are to serve one another in love. And then 1 Peter 4:10, "God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts," right? Every one of us is gifted with a specific ability, and where those puzzle pieces that fit together, use them well to serve one another. Once again, we're encouraged and commanded to serve one another. So C is social service, right? So in the book of Acts, the early church actively served its community through teaching, fellowship, sharing resources, and prayer. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, gathering for meals and prayer, and sharing those possessions to help those in need. This sense of community and mutual support led to a positive reputation and growth of the church. That was basically after 42 through 47. That's what we're seeing, is that they blessed not only themselves, but the greater community. They shared, and the growth of the church in the book of Acts exploded, and it was amazing. 2:46 says, "They worshiped together in the temple each day, meeting in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." It is the responsibility of the church to evangelize, disciple, and nurture people into the kingdom. Yet the command of Jesus, it is also responsibility for the church to love their neighbor and their neighborhood. Churches should be seen as lovers of their community and neighborhood. So sharing authentic and vulnerable sharings, members feel safe to share their joys, their struggles, their weaknesses, and victories with one another. There's a culture of openness and honesty where people can be their true selves without fear of judgment. These are high values, right? These are really deep. This vulnerability fosters a deeper connection and allows for mutual support and encouragement that you and I both need. This begins in the church, but extends to the families, communities, cities, country, and ultimately to the world. So the H in ship is heart, okay? And I put help. I've got some dual words. I couldn't decide which was the best H word, but I thought heart, because I want to talk about heart care. And so the first one is, the first one is encouragement and edification. Believers actively encourage one another in their faith journey. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 reads, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect the meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Fellowship provides opportunities for sharing testimonies, insight into scripture, and words of affirmation that build another up. Small groups, right? I've said it before, I'll say it again. You can worship with the masses. You can go to a stadium of 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people, and you can worship. But the only place you can really be heart on heart, life on life, is in small groups with brothers and sisters in Christ, to where you're sitting and you're listening and you're hearing and you're sharing and you're working together the things that are happening in your life, the things that are happening in their life. You worship, you fellowship. Yes, you usually have food, and you pray for one another. So I encourage you to somehow, some way in your busy, crazy, chaotic life to find a way to engage in some form of small groups, because this contributes to the spiritual growth and maturity of not only you, but the people with which you gather. The second thought is unity and harmony. Despite differences in backgrounds and perspectives, there's a commitment to unity in Christ. And this harkens back to our first and highest value is love. Love is our highest value. We intend good for others. And this is one of the ways that we practice that. Philippians 2:2 reads, "Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy," Paul is saying, "by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose." This is a good definition of a healthy church, is Paul's prayer for the Philippian church, that you and I would be that way. Healthy fellowship involves a willingness to forgive, to reconcile, and to work through conflicts in a Christ-like manner. It's not easy, right? It's hard when you get together with a bunch of other broken people and you work through your challenges and struggles and they work through their challenges and struggles. But remember, we always have Jesus between us. So when you're dealing with another brother or sister in Christ, there's always Jesus between you. And so you're loving Jesus by loving them. And you're loving them through Jesus. And it's actually Jesus' love coming through you that is blessing and encouraging and supporting another. This unity that we have is a powerful witness to the world. Going back to our study in John in chapter 17, Jesus said, "I pray that they will be one," right? That they will be connected and unified. "Just as you and I are one," he's saying this to his Father, "and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me so that they may be one. Right? We have Jesus' glory so that you and I can be one. Jesus said, I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. What did Jesus pray for you? What did Jesus pray for us? That we would have perfect unity, right? Again, it's not something that if we don't work at it, if we don't try, it's not necessarily going to happen. But if we agree with Christ, if we pray the prayers that he prayed, because all we're asking for is his kingdom to come, his will be to be done, right? We want what Jesus wants in our life. We want Jesus what wants in our body. And that's perfect or complete unity, wholeness, right? A healthy church, healthy people in a healthy church. And then C is joy and celebration. Psalm 133:1 reads, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Fellowship includes moments of shared joy, celebration of milestones, like we had this morning, a baby dedication, right? Weddings, birthdays, all the celebratory things that we do in life, and expressions of gratitude, being grateful and thankful for one another. This creates a positive and uplifting atmosphere within the church. And then I wanted to point out grief and mourning, because that's a real part of life. We're talking about heart care and soul care. You're going to be hearing more and more about soul care in the weeks and months to come. Romans 12:15 reads, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Fellowship includes the changes and transitions in life. Heart care is sitting in silence and just being with people in loss or struggle or tragedy. This must be fostered and practiced in order for us to be an authentic, healthy community of believers who share one another's burdens. And again, it takes practice. But I think the most important thing in that is just being, right? We are to be, right? Yes, we do. But when you just experience the presence of being with someone in their pain or in their struggle or in their grief, speaks much louder than words. So the I in SHIP is intentionality. And I put in integrity because they go together. Hospitality and inclusion. Romans 12:12 reads, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help. Always be eager to practice hospitality, right? We have a hospitality team. And thank you, hospitality team, for the coffee and the biscuits that we'll have in a little bit. Yes, we had a clap there. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. The church extends genuine hospitality to visitors and new members, making them feel welcome and valued. There is a conscious effort to include people from diverse backgrounds and stages of life. Now, I know this word inclusion in our world right now is really a touchy word. A healthy community does not shy away from difficult subjects. We honor the Word of God and stand by our beliefs and practices, but we do so in love. And personally, I want you to hear me say that if I ever have to err, I would pray that I would err on the side of love and of Jesus' actions, who touched the untouchables. He loved the unlovable. He accepted people as they are, while showing them the better way and while offering them, come, receive the kingdom of God. It's right here at hand. You can change. You can grow. You can find healing and wholeness in a relationship with Jesus Christ. If Jesus did this to the least of these, then we are to be a people who do the same, right? Learning to live and act like Jesus. This reflects God's inclusive love and expands the reach of the church's fellowship. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest." So we can do the same thing. So shared activities and experiences. Fellowship is often expressed through shared activities such as a meal, social gatherings, ministry projects, and study groups. These shared experiences create bonds and strengthen relationships outside of the formal church service. Doing life together fosters a deeper sense of community. And that's our goal. That's our desire. A healthy community is a deeper, involved, and engaged community. And then prioritization of relationships. In a healthy church, relationships among members are valued and prioritized. Leaders actively foster opportunities for fellowship and model healthy relationships within your community. So your leaders have a high standard, and you can hold them to that, but you can also participate and engage and share in loving and being kind and gracious and praying. I can't tell you what an honor it is each week to hear different people pray for me. I need your prayers. I cannot do this alone. And we're together, and I want you to know I pray for you. And I ask God to work through us to do incredible things more than we can ask or imagine, because God has a great desire for us to be genuine, authentic, loving, heart-caring community. The P in ship is passion. Acts 24:42 again says they devoted, they were passionate, they committed themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. Four big, huge concepts that we're walking through today. So first one is passion for authentic community and fellowship. Believers genuinely love, support, and care for one another. There's a sense of belonging, of mutual encouragement, practical help within the church body, right? It's a participation that you have to be open and vulnerable and real, but we as a body have to be open and vulnerable and real. We have to be a safe place to where we can confess our sins one to another and not be condemned, right? Yes, we stand against sin and against Satan's work in our life and in our world, in our community, in our church, but we do it trusting in the Lord, and that as we share our true self and our vulnerabilities, the Holy Spirit will work within us to grow us and to make us the passionate, authentic community of people who he wants. And passion for spiritual growth together. Fellowship is not just social, but is centered on growing in faith and understanding God's words together, right? They devoted themselves to teaching and to learning. Bible studies, prayer groups, and discipleship relationships within the fellowship contribute to this spiritual journey. I have to say it here. I believe every one of us should be in some form of a discipleship relationship, okay? You're either being discipled by somebody or you're discipling somebody. And that's a high bar, okay? I understand that. But if we're to be a healthy follower of Jesus in a healthy community, then there are lots of lines crossing. And not only are you praying for somebody, but you're checking up on them. You know, we've got these little devices that aren't just social, right? They can go deeper. How can I pray for you? You know, what are you reading in the Word this week? What is the Lord saying to you? Those are beautiful discipleship questions. And it doesn't have to be that you're a young person with an older person being discipled in a formal relationship. That's good and that's important and that should be happening. But every one of us needs brothers and sisters in Christ, people with whom we can be real and vulnerable and honest. Guys saying, hey, I'm struggling right now. I need prayer. Can you pray for me? And at that moment, that text comes. It's instantaneous, right? We stop and we pray for that brother or sister. Now, ladies tend to do this a little better than we do. They're interconnected, right? They're always doing this. So guys, we have to work at it a little harder. But intentionality and having a passion for the body of Christ and his work in me as I'm investing in you and you're investing in me and we're working together and each of us being interconnected in this beautiful matrix of what is the body, the bride of Christ. And then passion for service and mission together. A healthy fellowship extends beyond the church walls, obviously, to the community through shared acts of service and missions. And we won't talk this, we won't make this a missions service, but you know, go into the world, right? That's Jesus' command. Go everywhere. Everywhere you go, tell people about me. Make disciples, right? There's the command. The discipleship command. Working together for a common purpose strengthens bonds and demonstrates the church's love for the wider world. There is a world out there that needs us to be the people who God is creating us to be, not just for us, not just inward, but outward, right? We're reaching Madrid. We're reaching the little communities where you live. We're reaching your school and your community and your workplace and all of your neighborhood. And then eventually, yes, Jesus, please redeem Spain for your kingdom. Redeem Europe. And Lord Jesus, we want everyone, 7 billion people in this world, to hear the name of Jesus and to have the opportunity to respond to him in relationship. So in conclusion, in summary, healthy fellowship in a church is characterized by authentic mutual care, encouragement, unity, hospitality, shared experiences, a focus on spiritual growth, collaborative service, joy, and prioritization of meaningful relationships. These aspects work together to create a strong, supportive, and vibrant community that reflects the love of Jesus Christ. Let's stand for our closing prayer. Father, thank you so much for the body, the bride of Christ. And Lord, I want to repent of our division in the body. Lord, there are so many groups and denominations and different parts of your body, but I know that ultimately you are in control. And in spite of our sinful nature, we, the body, the bride, your church, you are still at work. And so, Lord, we bless everyone around the world who worships you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we want your church to shine. We want your gospel to go out to the ends of the earth. And we want to be a people who are being who you called us to be. We are doing what you intend us to do, one-on-one and in our small groups as our body here at Emmanuel, but as a part of your greater body. Do your work through your kingdom and help us. Lord Jesus, please help us to have authentic and real and true fellowship with you and with one another. And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.